Over the New River Gorge near Beckley, West Virginia, Ray turned around and headed back. Though flying cost less than professional therapy, it wasn't cheap. The meter was ticking. If he won the lottery, he would buy the Bonanza and fly everywhere. He was due a sabbatical in a couple of years, a respite from the rigors of academic life. He'd be expected to finish his 800-page brick on monopolies, and there was an even chance that that might happen. His dream, though, was to lease a Bonanza and disappear into the skies. 12 miles west of the airport, he called the tower and was directed to enter the traffic pattern. The wind was light and variable. The landing would be a cinch. On final approach with the runway a mile away and 1,500 feet down, and Ray and his little Cessna gliding at a perfect descent, another pilot came on the radio. He checked in with the controller as Challenger 244 Delta Mike, and he was 15 miles to the north. The tower cleared him to land, number 2 behind Cessna traffic. Ray pushed aside thoughts of the other aircraft long enough to make a textbook landing, then turned off the runway and began taxiing to the ramp. A Challenger is a Canadian-built private jet that seats 8 to 15, depending on the configuration. It will fly from New York to Paris nonstop in splendid style, with its own flight attendant serving drinks and meals. A new one sells for somewhere around $25 million, depending on the endless list of options. The 244DM was owned by Lou the Liquidator, who'd pinched it out of one of the many hapless companies he had raided and fleeced. Ray watched it land behind him, and for a second he hoped it would crash and burn right there on the runway, so he could enjoy the show. It did not, and as it sped along the taxiway toward the private terminal, Ray was suddenly in a tight spot. He'd seen Vicky twice in the years since their divorce, and he certainly didn't want to see her now, not with him in a 20-year-old Cessna while she bounded down the stairway of her gold-plated jet. Maybe she wasn't on board. Maybe it was just Lou Radowski returning from yet another raid. Ray cut the fuel mixture, the engine died, and as the Challenger moved closer to him, he began to sink as low as possible in his captain's seat. By the time it rolled to a stop, less than 100 feet from where Ray was hiding, a shiny black Suburban had wheeled out onto the ramp a little too fast, lights on, as if royalty had arrived in Charlottesville. 2 young men in matching green shirts and khaki shorts jumped out, ready to receive the Liquidator and whoever else might be on board. The Challenger's door opened, the steps came down, and Ray, peeking above his instrument deck with a complete view, watched with fascination as one of the pilots came down first, carrying 2 large shopping bags. Then Vicky, with the twins. They were almost 2 years old now, Simmons and Ripley, poor children given genderless last names as first names because their mother was an idiot and their father had already sired 9 others before them and probably didn't care what they were called. They were boys. Ray knew that much for sure because he'd watched the vitals in the local paper, births, deaths, burglaries, etc. They were born at Martha Jefferson Hospital, 7 weeks and 3 days after the Attlees' no-fault divorce became final, and 7 weeks and 2 days after a very pregnant Vicky married Lou Radowski, his 4th trip down the aisle, or whatever they used that day at the horse farm. Clutching the boys' hands, Vicky carefully descended the steps. $500 million was looking good on her. Tight designer jeans on her long legs, legs that had become noticeably thinner since she had joined the jet set. In fact, Vicky appeared to be superbly starved, bone-thin arms, small flat ass, gaunt cheeks. He couldn't see her eyes because they were well hidden behind black wraparounds, the latest style from either Hollywood or Paris, take your pick. The Liquidator had not been starving. He waited impatiently behind his current wife and current litter. He claimed he ran marathons, but then so little of what he said in print turned out to be true. He was stocky with a thick belly. Half his hair was gone, and the other half was gray with age. She was 41 and could pass for 30. He was 64 and looked 70, or at least Ray thought so with great satisfaction. They finally made it into the Suburban, while the two pilots and two drivers loaded and reloaded luggage and large bags from Saks and Bergdorf. Just a quick shopping jaunt up to Manhattan, 45 minutes away on your Challenger. The Suburban sped off, the show was over, and Ray sat up in the Cessna. If he hadn't hated her so much, he would have sat there a long time reliving their marriage. There had been no warnings, no fights, no change in temperature. She had simply stumbled upon a better deal. He opened the door so he could breathe and realized his collar was wet with sweat. He wiped his eyebrows and got out of the plane. For the first time in memory, he wished he had stayed away from the airport.